Okay. Well, here we are as we wind down today, and we want to continue and finish up our worship by looking into the Word. All right? And I want to continue talking about training and praying. Training in praying. Now, when we think about our lives, often we think about, we often describe our lives by the various pieces, you could say, that fit us all together. For instance, we'll talk about our home life, we'll talk about our work life, we'll talk about our married life, we'll talk about our single life, our school life, our college life, we'll talk about our, some of you will talk about your love life, right? And we see these different parts of our lives, and that's how we describe our lives. I think you get the picture. And let me ask you this morning, how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? That's one of the pieces, if you will, in our lives that we've been talking about, that I want to talk about. Last week and the week before, we were looking in Luke chapter 18 and talking about our unanswered prayer life and what it is that we do or what we can do about those nagging, unanswered prayers. In so many words, we said, well, what we'll do about it is we'll become a nag to God about them. And that we will, you know, there are a number of things that we said that we can do about the unanswered prayers in our lives. And I want to continue speaking about training in praying, but this time, twisting it a little bit and going to Luke chapter 11 and begin talking about how it is that we can improve our prayer life. How it is that we can improve our prayer life. Luke chapter 11, where it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples. Notice, seeing Jesus praying, they were provoked by his example praying to say, Lord, we want to pray like that. How do we pray like that? Lord, teach us to pray. And so Jesus takes that opportunity as a teaching moment. And he says to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Isn't that a kicker? No, it's almost like a qualifier, isn't it? You know, oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm doing the same to everybody who sins against me. And then he says, and lead us not into temptation. That always messed me up, that last verse, that in according to Luke's gospel. And lead us not into temptation. It's like, boy, you know, God, what are you doing in the first place leading me into temptation? You know, aren't you supposed to lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake? And the idea here is the way that, and we'll get into it, but just to kind of foreshadow some things, prepare you, is, Lord, don't let temptation have its way with me. That's the idea there. And I think we get that, don't we? Because we all know what it feels like to have temptation have its way with us. Right? And so, Lord, don't let temptation have its way with me. That's what's going on here. So Jesus gives this straightforward teaching. And then, as is Jesus' style, he backs it up with a story. And he says, suppose one of you has a friend. Now remember, now he's teaching them, what's he teaching them? How to pray. So when you pray, say, there's the straight line teaching, you might say. He gives it in the first couple of verses. And by the way, you notice that sounds familiar, but not exactly like we've learned it from Matthew's gospel, in which we have come to call what? the Lord's Prayer. And you say, boy, you know, where did Luke get it wrong? No, Luke didn't get it wrong. This is Luke's way of recording from his perspective Jesus teaching on prayer. Here's the deal about that, and I'll just throw this out there as I'm thinking about it. When Jesus said in his teaching to pray like this, we're made to understand the difference that's given to us from Matthew, follow me now, from Matthew's gospel to Luke's gospel, that Jesus didn't mean pray having to use these exact words as a prayer. Now, there's nothing wrong with it. I pray the Lord's Prayer according to Matthew's version. I think it's good, which we call the Lord's Prayer. Wonderful. But Jesus is after more than us just saying those as a written prayer. In Luke's rendition of it, proves it. That's all I'll say about that. Let you think about it. We'll come back to it later. So he's telling this story to back it up now. And he says, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight, and he says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine has come on a journey, and I have nothing to say. I'm embarrassed. And this, you know, a friend of mine has shown up, and I don't have any, because it was custom. And it would be the most humiliating, embarrassing thing you can do not to feed him. Now, I grew up in a family where if people came to visit, you fed them. That was just my culture that I grew up in. And not, you know, people come to visit, and it was just understood. You didn't ask them, would you like something? You know, being polite, would you like a cup of water? You know, would you like something to drink? No. I mean, you got the works, you know. You got fed. I mean, it was just the way it goes. This is that kind of thing. You got a friend that shows up, and you're expected to have that kind of hospitality ready. He doesn't have any food. So he says, I'm going to go next door to borrow what I need from my neighbor because I am embarrassed, and I will not let this embarrassment go on my record. Okay? So it says he goes next door, all right? And from inside, his neighbor says, don't bother me. Sound familiar? From the story that we read last week, we were talking about unanswered prayer and how it says there where she kept on going to the judge, and the judge said what? She's bothering me. And here this guy says, go away. You're bothering me. He says, the door is locked. He says, we're all asleep. And then he says, I tell you, Jesus says, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is a friend, right? Got a friend. The button of war has been pushed. I don't care if you're my friend. I got to have what I... And so with his shameless persistence, he says, he won't get up because he's his friend, because of the man's boldness. And we see this in our story about the woman as well. She was bold. Her shameless persistence. This guy's shameless persistence. I'm not going away. I got to have something to present here to my friend. And then Jesus says, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Jesus switches now back to drawing a point, a principle from that story. And he says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Now, something that we don't see is how the language is putting this across, and how it may be that Jesus is actually saying this when he's teaching it. Ask. No. Listen. Ask. And it will be given to you. Seek. No, you got to stay with this thing. Seek, and you will find. Knock, you know. Knock, you know, it's not, nobody's home, let's go. No. You're staying there until somebody comes to the door. Knock, and it will be answered. And the idea that's conveyed here in the language is As you all know, maybe some of the translations in your Bible put it this way, keep asking, right? And that's the way it's actually coming across to us in the language. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep at it. In other words, do what this guy was doing to his neighbor. He was not about to be denied. Not about to be denied. And it says, the promise is, it'll be given to you. And so then Jesus goes on. And after, again, you know, he makes the point again by principle, and then he mixes it up with a little metaphor, a little metaphorical language once again, and he says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will you give him a snake instead? Now, notice Jesus ends with where he started in teaching on prayer. Father. Father. The Father heart of God. And what father who has a father's heart, his son asks him for a fish, is going to say, oh yeah, here's a snake for you, kid. I don't think so. Or if he asks for an egg, he's going to give him a scorpion. In other words, he asks for something good, and Father gives him something that can hurt him. I don't think so. And then Jesus makes the point about prayer when he says, if you then being evil, if you fathers who are marred with a sin complex and can get it all mixed up, yet you still know how to be good to your children, having a father's heart, how much more shall your Father in heaven, who is not mixed in any way but is pure goodness, give? And notice what he says, give, what he's going to give us. How much more shall he give what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. So Jesus then nails our request in prayer to asking for the Holy Spirit, which I believe is the greatest request that we can ask for in any one of the requests that we make to God. We'll talk about that when we get to it. Today I want to look at the first part of our passage. And so Jesus, there it is, your word, help us by your Holy Spirit to hear what you want us to hear today, that we might improve our prayer lives. Amen. And so, training in praying, how to improve our prayer lives. Luke shows us a side of Jesus, and I don't know if you've thought about this at all, but why four Gospels? You know, and when you read them, it looks like we just did here. Well, did Luke make a mistake? You know, recording the Lord's Prayer compared to Matthew's recording of the Lord's Prayer. Well, no more than if there were an accident out in front here what is that road? Is that the 69? And we, you know, we're looking out the window here and we see the accident. The cop comes and takes a report. I give him my report. Person on the other side at Dunkin' Donuts, you know, cop, he gives a report. And the cop looks at the reports and sees, well, a discrepancy in the reports. No, not really a discrepancy, but what? From a different perspective. I mean, it's as simple as that. You say, why are there four Gospels? You know, is there a discrepancy? No. This is Luke's perspective on what he came to see of Jesus' life and ministry, and Matthew as well. This is how Luke heard it. And so on. And so this is what we have to see about it. And so each of them produce a side of Jesus that's different from the other, and that is in particular gives us a look into Jesus' life that is, you know, something about Jesus that's different than the other. And what we see that's different about Luke's picture of Jesus is Jesus' humanness more than the others. That in particular, we see how it is that Jesus needed to pray. 10 times In Luke's gospel, we see Jesus praying. This is one of those occasions where Jesus is in a certain place and he's praying and they're watching him pray. And by watching him pray, they're provoked. Now think about it now. Think about that. I mean, we're talking Jesus. We're talking the Son of God. God himself in the flesh. And yet he needs to pray. He's praying. And Luke shows us this. And one of the things that we could say about our own humanness is exactly that. That the thing that not only makes me more human, but the thing that celebrates my humanity more than anything is my connection to God. It almost doesn't sound right, you know? You think, well, that's a very spiritual thing. No, you see, God made me in my humanness to be dependent upon him. And when I pray, I am showing the extremities of my humanness when I pray. And that's a good thing. Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed. Jesus needed to pray. And so we see this in Luke's gospel, how it is that Jesus prayed. And here it is, Jesus is praying. And as a result of Jesus praying, he's able to turn that into a teaching moment for his disciples. And so this is where we start, right here, when we talk about improving our prayer life. Improving our prayer life. I began by asking you the question, how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? You know, sometimes we look at it, and I just throw this out there, but we think about it as, you know, the most spiritual thing I can do is pray. Or, wow, am I really spiritual? Look how much I pray. Well, this is the way I would put it. You know, I have really come to terms with my humanity in that I pray. I have really discovered what it means to be a human person in my prayer life. Wow. You talk about finding yourself. In prayer, we discover that like no place else. So how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? How are answers coming to your prayers? How's your prayer life? I want to begin there because that's where we begin. Where they say to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And so disciples, notice what it says. It says the disciples. And you've heard me say it before. I'll say it again. The most common designation in all of the New Testament for Christians is disciples. The most common designation of what it means to be a Christian is I'm a disciple. Now, what is a disciple? Disciples of Jesus pray. That's the first thing I'll say. Disciples of Jesus pray. You know, how do you know you're a disciple? Well, you know you're a disciple in that you pray. You see, when I pray, I am touching life. Like, you know, how does a newborn baby know that it's alive? It eats. It takes in its mother's milk, right? And so how it is that I know that as a disciple, I'm alive and well. I'm breathing in and breathing out what comes from heaven through the vehicle, if you will, of prayer. Because prayer is that kind of exchange. So disciples of Jesus pray. I feel in my humanity, I feel in my humanness, I need to pray. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. Disciples are learners. That's what the word means. The word disciple literally means learner. Learner. They're learners. You have disciples and their master, right? They're learning from their master. So we're learners as disciples. And it's only appropriate that these disciples would say, Lord, teach us to pray. So as a learner, you know, I have this attitude towards everything in my walk with Jesus. Lord, teach me, and especially when it comes to prayer. Have you ever found yourself in this kind of quandary? How do I pray? And what do I pray for? How do I pray in general? How do I pray in general? You know, what words do I use? And then there are those specific things. Those specific things from the areas of our lives. And how do I target this thing in prayer? How do I? Well, that's a good opportunity to say, like the disciples here, Lord, learn me, as we would say, learn me, school me in how to pray about this. Instead of floundering and maybe even becoming a little frustrated and then praying something very general like, oh yeah, oh God, bless that, and which I think is a good way to pray, but leaving it at that. But rather, Lord, help me. What are specific ways that I need to pray for this? Teach me what? Teach me how to pray. Teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. And then C.S. Lewis speaks of Christianity as an education. Some of you may have read that in his book, Mere Christianity, where he says, and I quote, one of the reasons why it needs no special education to be a Christian, it is that Christianity is an education in itself. Christianity in itself is an education. You know? And one of the things that we learn as a Christian and in Christianity is that part of the core curriculum, you know, of any degree program, you will say, when you go to school, to university, has their core curriculum. For this particular course of study, right, these are the core courses that you must take for this particular degree. Well, Christianity has its core curriculum courses. And one of those is, you got it, prayer. Prayer. And so, I have to follow suit here with the disciples and say, Lord, teach me to pray. And I would say that you never come to the place where you say, okay, I got it. You know, I'm telling you, I've been praying for, you know, 40 plus years, you know, I've had a prayer life. And I'm still befuddled. I'm still befuddled. And I still find myself, I must pray, as the disciples prayed here, Lord, teach me to pray. I'm just not getting this thing. And so the idea here, and I'll end with this, is that, you know, how to improve your prayer life. It begins with, Lord, teach me how to pray. Teach me to pray. Make sense? Let's pray. Amen. Lord, you said to us to hook up with you and that you would teach us your ways. Teach us your ways in our prayer lives. Lord, you speak to us, you spoke to us that we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but your Spirit helps us to pray. And so that you would teach us to pray in the Spirit. Lord, you see us and where our prayer lives are at, the kind of time that we spend praying, the places that we go to pray, the things that we pray about. You see our prayer lives. And I'm asking that as we talk about these things together, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would help us to improve our prayer life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.